Okay, let's go and read the Genesis chapter 3, verse 22.
And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and to take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever.
Now here the word of God is saying, the man became one of us. Now, when you have a children, like your mother or father, but they don't become like you until they become mature. When they become mature, then they know what is really good and evil. That's what happened to this Adam and Eve. Until then, they were like babes. They didn't know what the sin was. They didn't know what the good and evil. They knew good, but they didn't know evil, evil. They will always tell you half a truth and half a lie. They will tell the lady, if you eat this fruit, you will be just like God. The Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we read, the word of God said, Let us make a man according to our own image and our own likeness. And that's the way God created mankind. Then somebody would say, What was lacking in man? Man was innocent, a child of God. But once the devil comes and say, If you eat this forbidden fruit, you will be just like God. So here the man means the woman, Eve, she was also Adam, she start thinking. Now God says, if you eat this fruit, you'll surely die. But this Satan says, if you eat, you will be just like God. And so the devil comes, the word of God says, as we know, book of St. John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, the devil is a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a killer, and he tells lie and nobody teaches him, he does his own. So the devil was lying, but one thing he was saying, you will be like gods, but he didn't say, you will be like God, like a pure and holy, like God already made them pure and holy. And they had a lot of knowledge. As I said earlier, Adam named every animal. So he was smart enough. He had the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the power of God, the glory of God, everything he had. But when he listened, Adam and Eve, both of them, disobey God, something happened. Instead of their eyes open, their eyes get blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, The God of this world has blinded not only eyes, but the mind of the unbelievers. So what happened? They became unbelievers. They were believers, but when you listen to enemy, you are not a followers of Christ anymore. You are a followers of the devil. And once you follow devil, then devil teaches everything wrong. Nothing good, but everything wrong. Do you know your children, they will listen when they are little babies. You say daddy, they will say daddy. Say mommy. Say water, they will say water. They will not say if you say, this is your dad. Oh no, this is not my dad. This is not my mom. This is a bread. Oh, this is not a bread. This is a stone. They will not argue with you. Whatever you teach them, they listen. That's why we say mother tongue. Mother is the closest one to the child. So mother teaches the child every word. When they get mature, that's the time they got two horns. Means they got a knowledge. What the knowledge they got? They got the knowledge of good and evil. Now they know how to make babies. Now they know how to give up the mother and father and rebel against them. This is what happens. So that's what happened. God is knowing everything. God knows what sin is. God knows what holiness is. But the word of God says, our God is a holy God. When Jesus Christ came into this world, the word of God says he was the Holy One of Israel. He did not commit sin. The word of God says he was tempted. Now somebody say, how can God be tempted? Jesus Christ was fully God and he was a fully man. As a man, he tempted because he took the flesh of man. And so he tempted, but he did not yield to temptation. Now, if you feel like eating something and tempting to eat ice cream maybe 10 times, but if you didn't eat the ice cream, you're not going to gain weight just thinking about eating. So temptation is only when you yield to that temptation that becomes sin. And so Jesus Christ did not yield to temptation. Devil came, told him, you can be having all the worldly kingdom and just bow down to me. What did he say? Get behind me, Satan. Only worship God and God alone. So Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He grew from the baby to adulthood, but he never committed sin. But here we see Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. Something happened into their life. They start dying spiritually. God left. Now they were frustrated. They didn't have the full knowledge. Your eyes should be enlightened spiritually. But they became blind. They could not see God. That's why they were hiding. And they heard the steps of God, but they didn't see God, and they heard the voice of God. The word of God says, the man became one of us. He says, one of us means God knows what the evil is. God knows what the good is. Now the man knows what the good and evil is. But the problem with the man, now he is not the followers of us. He's following the devil. Now he has the crooked mind. He has the evil mind. And now he's become a sinful man. A rebellious child, just like 18 years old. Rebellious child. And they rebel against mother, they rebel against father, they rebel against society, they rebel against everybody, and they thinking they are the smartest people on the earth. They don't want to listen anything to anybody. And so God says, now they became one of us, but the problem is here, they know what the good is, they know what the evil is, but they are not going to do good, they are going to do evil. Can you imagine there were two kinds of fruits? One fruit can give you eternal life, and one fruit will make you understand good and evil. Now the devil knew if I introduce them to eat the good fruit, a tree of life, then they will be knowing much more and they will have eternity. They were already made eternal. But the one problem was, even though they were eternal, but they were babes in God. They didn't know any sin. They lived, I don't know how many million years, they lived without sin. So what happened here, when God breathed on the mankind, the man became a living soul. And the blood started flowing in the mankind. And so the word of God says in a book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Even the Adam was innocent, but he had the flesh and blood. So in that condition, he was not able to inherit the kingdom of God. So what? God has to come down to talk to man. We never saw he took Adam and Eve and showed them the heavens and look, this beautiful place, and one of these days you will be here. He never showed them the heaven. They did not go bodily to heaven. So they were on earth. That's why this temptation was kept purposely. God wanted to test them, if they listened to God or not. But they failed. They failed in their test. And that's why they became followers of devil. So that's why Jesus Christ came as the obedient son. And the book of Philippians, we read, he obeyed until death. He died for mankind. And he is the only obedient son in the whole wide world. There is not a single son or daughter can say, I fully obeyed my mom, and I fully obeyed my dad, and I fully obeyed my God. Not a single one. The Word of God says in the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a single person can brag and say, from my childhood, I did not commit sin. And so because of sin, Jesus Christ came and died for the mankind. So now here the Word of God is saying, this man we created, we gave them wisdom and everything. The devil mesmerized them, blinded them. Now they are dying spiritually and they are evil and they are going to touch that, the tree of life. So we should get rid of them and tell them to get out of the garden. Adam itself, it says, if you remember, Genesis chapter 2, when God brought that Eve to him, the woman, what did he say? This is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. And so he says, the man should leave the mother and father and cleave the wife, and they should be one flesh. That's what he was thinking. Now that's exactly what happened. Because he said to himself, my wife ate the fruit, she's going to die anyhow. And so she is my flesh, she is my bone, so I'm craving towards her, so I'm going to eat, and let's both will die. He didn't have any idea what the death means. Actual death means, do you know what it is? Death means separation. When you die, your soul and spirit separates from your body, so your body is dead. Now your soul and spirit supposed to go to the God. If it doesn't go to God and goes to hell, that is death, called second death, separation from Almighty God. So now what happened? They had the separation from God. That means spiritually they died. Let's go back and read that verse one more time. We might be reading a couple of times. Genesis 3:22.
And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.
Now this man is a wicked. This man is a sinner. This man is a spiritually dead man. Now if he takes that fruit, the tree of life, and eats, what's going to happen? He is going to be a sinner for eternity. And there won't be any remedy, because now he's a sinner and he eat that tree of life, he will be a sinner for life. So God lovingly took him out of the garden. And he says, if he eats that fruit, tree of life, and he will live forever. Now somebody says, what's wrong? God doesn't want this man to live forever. God wants you and me to live forever. God has created a real man in you. That is called the spirit man. That spirit man never dies. It's eternal. If you go to hell, that spirit man will be there for eternity. That's why the hell is for eternal. And that spirit man goes to heaven, he lives eternity in heaven with God. So God has already created us eternal person. We never die. God had the plan. If you remember Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, he says, the seed of woman will crush the head of this serpent, and the serpent will bruise the man's heel. That was showing one day God is going to send a savior through woman. And that's why Jesus Christ came through Virgin Mary. So that prophecy was there. And now the God is saying, I am going to teach these people some lesson. They have to call upon God. People think our God is a loving and good God. Why this God, if the God is the one who loves unconditionally, why he has to tell this man to get out of the garden. Do you know the garden was a better place for them? No thorns, no thistles. Now, as soon as the man committed sin, God put the thorns and thistles. Is that a loving God? Somebody says, why the loving God puts the thorns and thistles, and so the mankind can get bruises and get problems? Do you know what the eagles, they do? Before the baby comes, they make the soft bed for them. Bring the cottons from here and there and make the bed so soft. And when they get a little bit bigger and they be comfortable, they don't want to get out of there. So what the mother does, go and bring some thorns and thistles and start putting in there. So they feel a little bit uncomfortable. And so when they threw the baby out, and so the baby start flipping, and before that hits the ground, they come and scoop them on their, wings, and bring them back to the nest. And this they do several times, and the baby start learning to fly, and they never go back to the nest, fly away. So what God was doing here, let these people know, when you commit sin, you are going to suffer. Any sin you do, yes, consequences. Some people say, you know, I committed sin, I murdered somebody, and so what? But you murder somebody, you're going to jail. If you're married, your wife is going to suffer. If you have children, your children are going to suffer. If you have parents, they are going to suffer. Your neighbors are going to suffer. And you're going to spoil so many people's name, just one person doing something wrong. So any person does something wrong, they have to suffer the consequences. So now this man committed sin, and God says, now you have thorns and thistles, and get out of the garden. Not only get out of the garden, they cannot come back. So he put the cherubim, the angels, and the same time he put the flying sword. And that sword was like a flammable sword. Nobody can come close. Now somebody said, why God did not do this the first time when the tree of knowledge and tree of good and evil put the circle around the flaming sword? Adam and Eve would not go and eat, and the devil will not be eat. But God doesn't do that. God has created us not a robots, but God has created us like a free will. If you want to commit sin, you can. Now God says, okay, now you are big enough to know good and evil, so now you get out of my house. That's what you have to do. If your children living in your house, as long as they don't have a girlfriend, as long as they don't have a boyfriend, keep them in your house. If they start bringing the girl in your house or the boy in your house, you give them warning. This is not a place to entertain your girlfriend. So you better get married and leave the house. Otherwise, keep your friendship out. Don't bring them in. And the mother and father say, oh, I don't want my child suffer. So you get, there's another bedroom. You can bring your girlfriend in that bedroom. So what happened? Why they have to get married? They live there for 20, 30, 40 years, have 4 or 5 children, still live and not get married. That's not the will of God. So that's why the God says, when you commit sin, you know how to make babies. That's the time, get out of the house. And Adam itself says, you know, when I get married, I'm going to leave my mom and dad, and I'm going to cleave to my wife. We are going to be a one flesh. And that's the time God says, now you know how to make children out of my garden. And why the thorns and thistles gives? But when they go and prick with some kind of thorn, what they're going to say, oh God, oh my God. So God reminds, something happened to you, you talk about God. Some people might say, oh Jesus. Actually, they say, thank you, Jesus, but the Jesus, they made a curse word. Something goes wrong or something bad happened to you. So at the point I'm making, all those thorns and thistles brings the memory that you were living in a good, comfortable place. Now you are suffering because of your sin. So the sin will tell you, if you living with your mom and dad, you get all the food free, all the clothes free, all the shoes free, everything free. And then when you rebel and get out of the house, then you have to work hard. That's what happened. Okay. And so God says, I'm loving and I'm kind, but I'm not going to allow that tree of life freely without repenting. Now, there are preachers, they are saying, oh, God loves you and everything will be all right and you will be, you know, be good person. How? Without repentance, nobody will be a good person. You can keep sinning until you're 99 or until you're 100, automatically you are not going to go to heaven. Some people say, well, I'm young now, I have this hormone kicking, so I'm going to do everything what I want to do. But when I'm 100 years old, I'm not going to do sin anyhow. I'm not able to go steal and kill and this and that, so automatically I'll be sin. Do you know there are 99 years or 100 years old, their mind is still wandering, and in the dream they think like they are teenagers, and they're doing the stuff they should not be doing in a sleep, they are doing it. Why this happening? There are old people calling me and telling me this is the problem. This is happening. Why is happening? Because your mind is not transformed. You don't have the mind of Christ. You are still living in a physical sin. Even though you don't commit sin, but you have desire to commit. Now that's why these old people, they go to the seashore and they have binocular, looking at the beautiful girls, how they are, you know, bathing and things like that. And you have seen some people in the bathroom or here and there put the camera and see the naked girls. The point I'm making, their heart is corrupted. And they don't feel that they are guilty. Once the person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am trying to be holy. I'm trying to give up my smoking. I'm trying to give up my drinking. I'm trying to give up my bad habit. But it's not happening. I need help. When you call upon God and say, Lord, help me, that's the time God comes to rescue you. There are people, they say, oh, we know the Bible. I know this. You can read the Bible 10,000 times. You can memorize the Bible and Bible scriptures and everything. But if your heart is not changed, you are still going to go to hell. Somebody say, oh, I sing in the choir. I play music. I preach. I do all kinds of things. I told you there was a man, he was smoking and preaching the same time. But nobody told him that he was wrong. But when I went to his church, I told him, sir, you preaching the sermon and telling people there is nothing impossible with God, but something wrong with you. Once this man was kicked out of the garden, then he knows how the hardship is. He needs God. He needs God's grace. He needs God's blessings. We don't know anywhere in the Bible what God did and God taught them. But we saw last week, God gave them the leather jackets. Not like a mini jacket, up to their toes, cover their nakedness. And what happened? God has to cut the animal, shed the blood to cover their sins. So each time they look at their cloth, they remember somebody has to be giving their life for us. So they learn sacrifice. We will be learning that next chapter. But here we see, God says, now, we don't want this man living forever. What happened to this man? Now he knows what is sin. Read the James chapter 4, verse 17. What the word of God says?
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
If you know how to do good, and if you don't do it, that's a sin. I can give the list of the sins. But you will be tired of listening to those things. But if I say only one word, if you know how to do good, and if you don't do it, is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Everything against God is sin. Now, if you're doing all those things, the sin will take you where? To hell. And so this is what the condition. So God says, until he repents, until he comes to his senses, until he sacrifices the lamb and worship me, I am not going to forgive his sin. Just don't think that your sin will be forgiven automatically. Your sins will not be forgiven automatically. There are preachers are coming and saying, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, automatically. You don't have to repent. Oh, God is so love, and God is so kind. What they're doing indirectly, sending you to hell. There is a song, he said, killing me softly. That's the way it is. Softly they're killing you, and softly they're sending you to hell, and you like those preachers, and those preachers' churches are full. They don't have room, and some churches, they have 15 minutes preaching. They call fast food preacher. One person has the 10 services in a day, or 8 services in a Sunday. How come? 10 minutes preaching. So you get an offering, preach, go. Another person, preach, get offering, go. You can make millions of dollars. Oh, we are so busy. We went to church. Did you go to church? Yes. How many minutes? 5 minutes. That's what our church is. And people like that. Some people commit sin and they say, what should I do? Go to priest. Sir, I committed sin. Okay, give $5. Thank you. I told you the story, chicken story, many times. I stolen the chicken. How much? $5. Okay, give $5. Okay, here is $10. Why? Because I'm going to steal another one. That's the way the people are thinking. Go to church and sit in the church pew. And the pastor gives the benediction. I'm blessed. Get out of here. Now I have license to commit sin. Next Sunday I'll come. Or I'll call the pastor, say, Pastor, something bothering me. What happened? I commit sin. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. No repentance. So nothing will happen. If you don't repent, you're not going to go to heaven. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3, verse 23.
Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
Now see, here the word of God says, God sent him out of the garden, and he says, from that dust he took him. So he said, now you go and dig that dust and make your own food. Up to now, all the fruit he can eat freely. Now here he has to work hard to get the food. And so each and every time you going to work, you are going to have obstacles. In this obstacle, you have to call upon God when you have problems. People are not calling upon God, but they are running away from God. How far you are running? We heard last week, you cannot run from God. Wherever you go, God is there. You cannot run. You run to God. My children, they learned when they were small because they knew if they run, I'm going to catch up with them and I'm going to beat them. So when I say, come here, they run. So they got beating. Next time, they cling. They come and hold me so tight so you can just hit like this. But if you are far away, you can sling or throw something and hit them. So the word of God says, when you make a problem, what do you do? Run to God. Don't run away from God. Because God is loving and kind anyhow. When you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He He will forgive you. So here the word of God is saying, now they have to work hard, they have to sweat, and they can remember how good was in Father's house. Now we are having problem. And so now here we read verse 24. He says, so he drew out them, out the man. Now somebody say, what happened to the lady? The only man he drew out, he did not keep the lady there. When the man goes, she goes after him. That's what it is. Once you are married, you follow your husband. So as soon as the man is going, he says, God says, get out of my house. So the man is going, the lady is following him. You know how to kick the lady. She will go where the man goes. Because God said, I'm going to put the attraction in you and him. Even though you get pregnant, you got a pain, you got a suffering, you deliver the baby, but the next time, as the baby comes, you forget the pain and you got another child. And so that's the nature God made in their spirit, that they will be staying with the husband. Let's go back to the Genesis 3 verse 24. Now here he's saying, he drew them out, the reason why they should not go back and get that fruit and live forever. That's what the reason he told them to get out of the garden. But God is so loving and so caring. God says, well, I told you to get out of this garden, but I want to give this fruit. I'm going to give it to you. How are you going to get that fruit? Let's go to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 7.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
See now, the word of God is saying the man was craving for that a tree of life. But God put the flaming sword, put the cherubim, how long? Until the flood came. I think everybody saw that flaming, the fire and the cherubim, because maybe Enoch saw it, Shade saw it, his children saw, the Noah's family saw, and Noah saw. Everybody saw that thing, but nobody was able to get in there. After the flood, everything washed away. Why God did not zoom and kill everything? But God wanted these people to think about that tree. Because of man's sins, we cannot get that tree. And somebody said, Noah says, but I wanted that tree. Enoch says, I wanted that tree. Everybody were saying, I want that tree. And Adam might be thinking, I didn't get it. I made a mistake. So everybody lost it. God says, okay, I'm going to give it to you back. And so he says to the churches now, he says, church people, if you really, really want that fruit, what you have to do? You have to overcome the sin, which Adam could not do it. Now he said, now you overcome the sin. Now the people are thinking, if Adam could not live a clean and holy life, how can we live? Do you know when God says, I'm going to give the laws, rules, and regulations to the Moses? And the word of God says, why God did this? He gave all the Ten Commandments and all the rules, sounds good and everything. But not a single person would go to heaven obeying that law. Because nobody was able to do the law. Then somebody says, why God gave the law? God gave the law to make you guilty. That's the only reason God gave the law. So the law made you guilty. And the law was saying, there is, you know, somebody could come and fulfill the law. That's the way the sacrifices were. The Abel did the sacrifice, we'll be learning later. But that sacrifice were pointing towards Christ, the Lamb of God. You remember the John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." So they were looking for the Lamb. So all this law was not able to save mankind. The Word of God said, no man can be perfect by the law. That's why Jesus Christ came. Now, when we are sinners and we cannot live a clean and holy life, then how the mankind will go to heaven? That's why Jesus Christ comes and he says, don't worry, I know you cannot live perfect life. That's why I came. You have to do a simple thing. You have to just receive me into your life. When I come in, then I push the devil out. And then you will have eternal life. Isn't it so simple? It's very simple. When you cannot live a clean and holy life, God says, I made a plan for you. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. Why blood? Because there is a life in the blood. Now we have to just receive that eternal life by faith. And once you do that, then you can live a victorious life. You can be smoking, drinking, doing all kinds of sinful life, and you are struggling and you want to do good things and you are not able to do it. Simply receive Jesus Christ and I guarantee you, you will be living a clean and holy life automatically. Then somebody said, then we are not going to commit sin. Yes, if you want to. Because you are still have free mind. But once Christ comes in you, you have the alarm system in your head. You going to do something, grrr, something wrong, you're doing wrong way. Just like a fire. But somebody said, doesn't matter, the ringing, ringing. And then you go and you commit sin. God is not going to let you go. He gives you a warning. You will hear lots of warning before you commit sin. When you commit sin, you lose your faith, you lose your strength, you lose your joy, you lose your peace, you lose your connection with God, you cannot feel like singing, you don't feel like reading the Bible, you don't feel like praying, and you feel like a miserable person. And so if you live like that, the devil comes and says, you know what? Now God is not going to forgive this. You better now come and do suicide, kill yourself, then you will have peace. And so the devil tells you lie again and want to destroy you. Romans chapter 6 verse 23, what it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Jesus Christ is the gift of God. You just have to receive it by faith. Once you receive Jesus Christ, say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry of my sins. I cannot live a victorious life. Come into my life and change my life. I guarantee you, once you receive Jesus Christ, you have the mind of Christ. You have the heart of God. You have the love of God. You are a child of God. You are going to live a victorious life. Somebody say, how can? Read the Bible every day, pray every day, go to church every day, go to Bible study if there is, and see, you will not have time to commit sin. You know, there is a saying, idle mind is what? Devil's workshop. So when you are not reading the Bible, you're not praying, you're not talking to Christian people, then your mind is like a devil's workshop. And you start thinking negative, start thinking something wrong. And the devil will give you all the tools to do what you want to do. And so here the Word of God is saying, God says, okay, now you want that eternal life, you want that fruit, I'll give it to you. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 22 and read first two verses.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Now can you imagine, this is in heaven? the crystal clear water. You do not need to purify water. You don't need a bottled water. This water is a crystal clear. No germs in that water. That water is a pure water you never saw anywhere in the world. That water, once you drink that water, you will never thirst. Jesus Christ says, you know, if you come to me and drink that water, what I'm giving to you, it will be like a fountain, a well of water, and you will never thirst again. Some people said, how come? We receive Jesus Christ and we still thirsty. The word of God says in Matthew chapter 5, and verse 5, I think, it says, if you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness' sake, you will be filled. You will be satisfied. Things, worldly things will never satisfy you. If you have one husband, their ladies are not satisfied with one husband. So they have several husbands, the secret husband, and an openly husband, and they don't care. But they will not satisfy. You want to eat some delicious food, you go to one restaurant, another restaurant, go to Japan or China or France or Europe, just for food. People are going. There was one man taking a plane and coming to buy a chicken, just fried chicken. So you can see how rich that man is, but he was addicted to one kind of chicken. He could take a plane and come. There are people craving for food. And they eat, but they are not satisfied. You can eat up to here. You said, now I don't want. Some people eat until they vomit. But the same time, within 6 hours, they get hungry again. So you will never satisfy. You can drink the whatever the best water or best wine. You can drink as much as you want. But that wine will not make you satisfied. You want to drink more wine and more wine until you die. So the point I'm making, there is nothing in this world will satisfy you. But once you come to Jesus Christ, see, go to the John chapter 4 and start reading from verse 32 to 34.
But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
See, Jesus Christ said to this lady, I have a water to drink, and that water will be fountain of life in your life. The lady goes to bring other people. Here the disciple comes. And he says, sir, we got a food for you. He says, I have food with me. You don't know what kind of food I have. They said, hey, who got the food for him? But he was talking about the food to give people the word of God. You remember, if you go to the St. John chapter 6, he said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you will have eternal life. Some people start thinking, this is too hard. We don't want to follow Christ. He is telling us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They did not understand he was talking about the word of God. Read the St. John chapter 6, verse 63.
It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
So he says, the word of God gives you life. There is a spirit, there is a power in the word of God, and that gives you life. You have to read the whole chapter. He says, I am the living bread. I came from heaven. And he was talking about bread of life. And that's why he said, you have to eat me and you have to drink of me. So they didn't understand. But actually he said, what I'm trying to tell you, read the word of God. Study the word of God. David says, I have hidden your word in my heart. So what? I should not sin against you. So once you read the word of God, study the word of God, memorize the word of God, you will never commit sin. The seed of the word of God stays in you. The word of God says if you have the seed of God, you will not commit sin. That's the seed, is the word of God. That word of God is Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ leaves you 24 hours in your life, you are not going to look for sin. The world is passing away. The world's desires are passing away. We are in the end time. There is not much time left. God promises us, he says, I will give you the living water. I will give you the living bread. What Jesus says in the Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. You can eat as much as you want, but you are going to die. You need the word of God. You have to study the word of God, read the word of God. Then you will gradually grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. I gave up some of the things long, long time ago. But I never craved for those things again. I never thought, hey, if I'm tired, if I take a bottle of liquor, it will make me feel good. Never thought in my life. I never dream about smoking or even desire about smoking. Or not thinking about, hey, let's have fun, go to the movies or something. No. Why? Because those things do not entertain me. I have Bible in my hand all the time. When I'm in home, I'm studying for the Sunday morning or studying for the Bible study. Always. And in the middle, people call me for prayer. So always talking about God until 11:30 or 12 o'clock night. And so the point I'm making, I have no time to think about sin. So that's the way you're supposed to do. The Word of God says when you are grounded and rooted in the Lord, then you will not commit sin. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Please read.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city.
And you will be able to eat the fruit, which tree of life. So God wants us to have everything freely. But you have to do something. Go to the same chapter, verse 17.
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
See, you said, come and take the living water, the tree of life, freely. But you have to come where? Come to Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn to God. Call upon him. And he will provide everything what you need. You need water, he gives water. You need food, he gives food. You need shelter, he gives shelter. You need car, he gives car. You need job, he gives job. He gives everything and how? Abundantly. There is no shortage in the hand of God. Why people are struggling? They struggle because of sin. When sin comes in, you got problems. You got all kinds of problems. You cannot eat peaceably. You cannot sleep peaceably. You cannot enjoy your life peaceably. Why? Because of sin. The sin goes out. Christ comes in. You have peace. Jesus Christ, he says, he is the Prince of Peace. Now see, the Adam had everything going good for him. Just one disobedient. He did not murder somebody. He did not do any wrong, big giant sin. He just disobeyed God. So the disobedient is the greatest sin. So if you obey God and say, Lord, here I am. You send your son to die for me, and I have to receive your son as my savior, as my redeemer, as my mediator, and then I will be all right. Once Jesus comes in, you will have a victorious life. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace and giving us invitation. Come and drink the water freely, whosoever. Lord Jesus, we want to be that whosoever. And we want to say, Lord, we need that living water. We need that living bread. We need that tree of life. Lord Jesus, we are hungry and thirsty for God. And your word says if you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness' sake, you will be satisfied. The world is not going to satisfy us. You are coming for your people. You are coming for your bride, which is ready and waiting for you. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. And make me your child. Lord Jesus, bless your people and give them that hunger and thirst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.